I am Kimberly Hayes Day Muga.
And I'm Amanda Day.
And you are listening to Fundraising Hey Day,
where we cover the how-tos of grants and fundraising.
And how we can all work together and do a better job of changing the world of philanthropy, because it needs our help. It needs our help. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you're brand new, welcome. If you've been listening to us for a long time, who hurt you? No, really. If you've been listening to us for a long time, we really appreciate it. And we're grateful. And you're why we do what we do. Did you know that we have a newsletter? If you, this every other week drop of a podcast just isn't enough for you, blessed. And know that you can go to our website and you can sign up for our newsletter. So it's every Friday. It's called Hey Day Hot Takes. And I'm not going to surprise you when I say it has like a, usually there's like a topical article, right? Some how-tos or trends. And then there's a book review. And Amanda and I love to read, but we don't always love to read the exact same thing. True story. Yeah. And so there's a book review from one or the other of us, and sometimes a special guest reviewer every week. And then there is a hot take, usually sparked from whatever thing is rant worthy that we have encountered in the previous week. So that's going to be something. And I also think that it's really fun to read. And also, it's not super long, right? There's just
short and sweet.
So if this is something that appeals to you after the podcast, or put us on hold and go do it now, we don't care, whatever works for you, head over to Hey Day Services, H-A-Y-D-A-Y Services, scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and you can sign up right there, and we'll see you Friday.
Absolutely. What I love about the hot takes is usually what'll happen is I'll be working on something, and something has annoyed me, usually with a funder. And I immediately go and look, when's it my turn to write the next hot take? And let me go ahead and do it right now while I'm in the mood of, oh my gosh, this is driving me crazy. And that's usually when I write my hot takes, is when the mood strikes. Because
there's always something to have a hot take on. There's always
something. Always something.
So again, it's Hey Day Services. Down the bottom of the homepage, you can sign up for the newsletter, and we hope to see you soon.
That's true. So well, today on our episode, Kimberly and I are going to delve into the beautiful world of letters of intent. We've got a how-to episode for y'all today. We're going to talk about what's good and not so good about the grant world equivalent of meeting for coffee in a public place.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, never goes wrong. So stick around and find out.
Hey there, we are thrilled at the Fundraising Hey Day podcast to bring in Kim Joyce and Associates as a sponsor. This incredible grant consulting firm based in Arizona has worked with nonprofits, for-profits, agencies of all sizes, from tribal governments to hospitals, universities, and everything in between. CEO Kim Joyce is here to share some really interesting tips and tricks that she's learned in her lived experience in this incredibly successful firm. We're so glad you could join us.
Kim, you're a member of the Grant Professionals Association, the National Grant Management Association, and the Association of Fundraising Professionals. So clearly, professional development is important to you. What have those memberships and those things you've learned from those organizations helped you as far as building your career?
I have learned so much, and they are extremely important to me. Like you mentioned, being an active member of professional organizations has helped me form relationships, learn about trends in our sector, find mentors, clients, employees. I'm a lifelong learner. I know there's always something to learn, and going to their conferences and becoming partners with these organizations has been really important for us. And professional development has been a critical part of my career and remains so today. So these are very important relationships.
To find out more about the incredible team at Kim Joyce & Associates, visit kimjoyceandassociates.com. If you want to join a consulting firm who places value on integrity, excellence, and community, check out the Career Opportunities page. Kim is always on the lookout for her next great hire, as well as her next great client.
So let's just start with a quick thumbnail of a definition about a letter of intent. Usually, it's something around 1 to 3 pages, or it may just be a simple form that the funding agency has created online. It really depends. And what's very much like a grant proposal is that there's no hard and fast rule of the format or the length or anything.
Yep.
It's not a full grant proposal. It's not supposed to be a full grant proposal. The idea is that you have a way to summarize your agency's or your department's particular program, project, or thing for which you're seeking funding. You can highlight how what you're doing aligns with what the funder's focus areas are. And giving them just an overview of why you are the folks to get the job done with that grant money. And I know Amanda talked about it in the beginning, and it is an awkward and somewhat creepy metaphor, but yet it is like dating, right?
Yeah.
And that's why you did the lead with the whole coffee in a public place. It's like the first date, you want to make a good impression in your letter of intent, but you don't have to reveal everything right away. You just don't. I mean, you know what? I am in a judgment-free zone, my friends. Do what you need to do, how you want to do, as long as it's consenting adults involved and it doesn't scare the horses, I'm down with it. But in all seriousness, letters of intent should be, and mostly are, that way to give an introduction. And most importantly, yes, it's great that you're aligning with the foundation or the corporation or the government agency's focus area. Yes, you're giving them an idea of how many folks might be interested in applying for this grant. Yeah, you're building a relationship. Yep. But you know what else you're doing, Amanda?
What are you doing?
You're saving a lot of time. You just told me about that before we started recording. You just told me about how much time you saved. Oh. So that it wasn't like the feel-good moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had a client that we decided to try a new funder whose their mission was very, very broad. So almost anybody that's doing is a nonprofit and doing good works could apply to this. And which I, on one hand, I like funders like that because so many different organizations can apply. But the downside to that is because so many can't apply, it usually can be uber competitive. And you can spend hours and hours and hours putting together a proposal and get a denial. And so I like this particular foundation, actually was the Dr. Scholl's Foundation. Their first step is an LOI. It's online. It literally took me 10 minutes because most of it was yes or no questions.
Can I just take a minute? Can we go do the way back noise for just a second? Because every time I hear Dr. Scholl, it takes me back to a decade long, long ago and far, far away when Dr. Scholl's came out and they were blocks of wood carved to the shape of your foot and had a navy blue leather adjustable strap with a buckle. That's right, y'all. That's right. I have been on this earth a long time and I remember cool stuff. But yeah, Dr. Scholl's back in the, in the 70s. Look it up. Look it up. Dr. Scholl, they're still around.
Oh, yeah.
Fine foot products. They branched out since then, but the original Dr. Scholl sandals sold in drugstores. And yes, I had a pair. And yes, they made a really loud clacking noise when you walked. It was kind of like coconuts clacking together.
Yeah.
Make the sound of horses' hooves. I digress. Thank you for going with me on that journey, Amanda. Please.
Yep. But anyway, so yeah, they have an LOI and it's not, you know, a lot of times you think LOI, you think, oh, it's a letter you're mailing and it's in a letter form, but this one was online. They still called it an LOI and they asked a few, you know, I had to fill out our mission statement and, you know, a quick description of what our services were. But then, like I said, the rest of it was very much just yes or no questions they asked. And within 5 days, they came back and said, nope, not inviting you to go through the full proposal. Which, wah, wah. But at least I only wasted 10 minutes instead of doing a full-blown proposal. I would rather have that happen. You know, if we're not getting funded, I want to know as early as possible with as the least amount of effort on our part, which I don't mean to sound lazy. We're not willing to put in effort, but when you're trying to raise a certain amount of money and you're going after multiple grants, if you can save hours on a proposal, why not save hours? So now I can move on hopefully to one that is a better fit, right?
I will never call you lazy, Amanda Day, fellow Esquire III. I will not call you lazy. It's just good time
disclaimer,
management.
I am not an attorney. Kimberly,
no, she's not an attorney. Just let me say my words. Just let me say my words. It makes me happy. I don't know why.
It makes me giggle. Anyway.
So I know that you got coming up some terms that might be related that are kind of in the
field. So let's talk terms, and let's go ahead and give a disclaimer too. Like, some people use LOI, some people, the I can mean different things, which is what we're going to walk through. We're going to talk about generally what these things mean, but know from funder to funder, they may call it something and they may give it a different definition, which is why always you read as much as you can about the information provided by the funder. And sometimes there is very little, right? Sometimes it's just send us a letter. I have seen that in a 990 form before. Send us a letter. Okay. I treat it like a letter of intent. And, you know, Kimberly's later going to walk through what the standard bits of information you should include. If they don't tell you specifically, because sometimes they do. I've had some folks say submit an LOI, it should include X, Y, and Z. So that's exactly what I include. But if they don't tell you, there's some general parts that most grant professionals tend to submit to find success. So, but let's talk about these different categories. So LOI, letter of intent, okay? So, which is mostly what we're talking about here today. But this is a specific document submitted to a funder to express your interest in applying for a particular grant opportunity. So usually you're focusing on your organization or your project's alignment with the funder's priorities and your organization's qualifications to carry out that. Yeah. That's a letter of intent. Like, I intend to use your money. I intend to use it for this.
I intend to apply. I'm applying to get to round two, to the awkward dating metaphor, back to, you know, hoping for a second date or hoping for a dinner date or a concert or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So that's letter of intent. And you could be like my example where they wrote back and said, hey, no, thank you. We don't invite you, or they may invite you. And, you know, the reasons for weeding you out, one, it may be that just from looking at that basic information, they may have decided you're not a good fit for the work that they're doing. Or it could be that they got thousands upon thousands and they're trying to whittle it down. And so even though you may be eligible, maybe that particular year, their focus is on something a little bit different, or you know,
maybe they don't communicate clearly and don't update their website.
There could be that.
Someone who's never had that happen to them before.
There could be that. It could be something Kimberly and I were talking about earlier. You know, if they have a wide array of things that they focus on, it could just be that they happened to get a ton in that same kind of bucket or category, and they just took the first 20 and then you're out of luck, you know? So there's no rhyme or reason sometimes with how funders do the things that they do, but they do it.
It's not a transparent process necessarily. Not in private funding. Yeah. But I think the letter of intent kind of takes a little bit of that. It certainly condenses the time so that if you know it's not going to work, you already know and you can move on. And you're not spending hours and hours creating a full-blown grant proposal.
Yeah. And I will say too, there are some funders that the application is the letter of intent.
That's true.
They don't have a round two. They make their decisions based off of that letter. So it could work either way there. So another LOI could be a letter of interest. This is often an unsolicited letter you send to a potential funder or a collaborator. It's where you're kind of proposing, hey, Here's an idea, a project we're interested in. Here's some highlights about our qualifications, why we're the right organization to do this. And then you're suggesting would love to speak further with you about this. It's a little bit broader than an LOI, and it doesn't necessarily respond to a specific grant opportunity. This is just when you're reaching out. An example of this may be someone who doesn't accept unsolicited applications.
Yep.
So maybe this is how you're trying to get the foot in the door, just kind of with broad strokes. You're letting them know, hey, this is us. This is what we're doing. We'd love the opportunity to work with you. And, you know, and it may not necessarily be a funder either. It could be a partner you want to collaborate with. It may be your first foray into saying, hey, I think we should work together. So that's a letter of interest. Okay. Then we also have a letter of inquiry. This is a preliminary inquiry sent to a funder to gather more information about a grant opportunity before investing a bunch of time and effort. So it's maybe one of these things like, hey, before we even think about submitting your application, like maybe they don't have an LOI as a first step, but you kind of want to go through that process to do that. So you could submit this letter, just kind of say, hey, this is what we're thinking of. Does this seem to be a match? Have you funded things like this before in the past? It helps figure out if they don't provide information about their focus area. I mean, I've seen some funders where I can't find that they don't have a website. Nowhere do they have a mission statement written. All you can go by is if you're doing your search, whatever search engine you're using. I often use the Foundation Directory online, and you know they FDO puts together a list of key subject areas they like to fund. But that's just based on previous funding. That isn't necessarily because the funder said, we are a organization that funds these types of things. It's just based on historical data. So a letter of inquiry could just be a way to be like, hey, I would really love to know a little bit more about your mission and your focus and your priorities before I take the time to put together this big application. So that is something, even if the funder doesn't request, you could certainly submit it. Especially when you find those funders that like the only information you can find out about them is their mailing address. Like there's no person, there's no email, there's no phone number. So maybe sending a letter. And of course, you may or may not hear back from them, but the time to put together a 1 or 2 page letter is still a lot less than putting together this big application. So that's something to think about.
I've sent letters of inquiry or letters of interest because the foundation has requested. So it's not like fill out this is your letter of intent. It's like, before we start this process, we want to get to know you. So it's like they're the ones that are asking for the coffee date in a public place, which I get. And so I think it's, and again, as you said, these terms are interchangeable. Most of the time, an LOI means letter of intent, but I'm glad that you went through other things that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can sort of have that tool in your arsenal of documents, you know, like a one pager that you could easily adapt and fit to different situations, it can go a long way.
Yeah.
I did that recently for an Atlanta based nonprofit where the foundation didn't have a formal letter of intent, must include all these things. So we just sent that letter of inquiry kind of format as an attachment to an email. And then the ED said, followed up with an email going, hey, you know, we sent this thing, love to talk to you more about it. And so it was just like an easy step into cultivation.
Yep.
So
nice.
So thinking about LOIs as in letters of intent, you can kind of think of them as mini-me proposals.
Mm-hmm.
And for some folks who are listening or watching us on YouTube, you might be going, well, yeah, it's going to be so easy. It's just a page. But when you look at the components that you probably need to include to make it a decent LOI that also fits the page requirements, sometimes writing shorter or a lot of times writing shorter documents, summary documents is a lot harder than writing huge proposals. Obviously, the huge proposals are detail oriented and time intensive. I'm not saying, oh, federal grants are so easy. I'm not saying that. But you might have 25 to 100 pages to answer all the questions. And sometimes letters of intent, when they come with, the funder has pre-populated a form, they may ask you 8 questions and only want it in a page. And then it becomes this sort of writing yoga of trying to
puzzle.
Fit everything in. And so I have thoughts and feelings about that. I also have thoughts and feelings about funders that want an LOI. They say it's an LOI, but it really is a proposal. You just don't have to send in your 990 or other attachments. Both ends of that spectrum are not, I think, very helpful to grant seekers. And I'm not sure why the grant reviewers would want to either limit themselves so brutally or give themselves all this extra stuff to review. But anyway, that being said, I want to just go over, there's some basic elements. If you'd have no guidance, if they're just like, send us a letter of intent and tell us about your organization and what you're seeking, what kind of project you're seeking funding for, that may be all the information that you have. So if you're in that boat, I would always, and I would break it up in paragraphs, and I know subheads take up a lot of room, scary, scary, but it makes it so much easier to read.
Yes.
And so if you have like an introduction or organization overview, just start with that, 2 or 3 sentences. I would not recommend leading a letter of intent or a grant proposal with the year in which you were founded. I mean, I see that a lot as a grant review. I'm like, that I would lead with the more something more exciting of like, what do you do?
And yeah.
Then you can just, or you can say for the, and then, you know, we provide no kill shelter to dogs and cats all over Fulton County. You know, whether or not you were founded 10 years or 15 years ago would not be the thing I would lead off with.
Yeah.
You can think about, it's maybe LOIs are kind of the TikToks of the grant world. Got a few seconds and a TikTok to suck you in, unless you're me and you just keep scrolling like an idiot and you have to delete it from your phone. But it's, you have in that moment, go with something a little more compelling than the XYZ agency was founded in 1998. Fantastic. But, you know, so get to so what? So in that introduction, pick your most appealing things. And Amanda Day has something to say.
Well, yeah, I will say I had written LOIs occasionally here and there over the years, right? But the last couple of years when I was working for Dickerson Baker, I wrote a ton more than I ever had. And one of the things I learned from, I was working with, some of you may know, Dave Brissard works there, working with him, and he has spent his career doing LOIs. And one of the things the first few times I'm like, hey, I'd appreciate your edits because I'm not, you do this a lot more than me. Like, you want help with federal grants? I got you. You're helping me with LOIs. So we kind of traded some information. And one of the things he always, no matter what the funder asked for, his very first paragraph, which usually had no heading, usually it was the, you know, it was to be the dear board of directors or whoever the person went to. And we would cover what is the pain point we're fixing? So somewhere within that first paragraph, it's, you know, we provide XYZ for this clientele or those kinds of things. And then usually we go ahead and put the ask in there from the get-go. So it's like, with, you know, with your help in $10,000, we'll be able to accomplish XYZ. So already from the get-go, they understand this is why we exist. This is how they can come in and help us. So then they're reading the rest through that lens. And I would have thought, like, I never included the ask at the beginning because I'm like, is that tacky to start off? Like, we want your money. But hello, I'm writing a grant application. I want their money, right?
It kind of goes without saying, but
yes.
Yeah.
And so that was always my first paragraph. And then you're right, then introduction breaking into like history and mission and that kind of thing. And then in there, of course, you could certainly put, we've been around since 1992.
Absolutely. Or you can say for the past 4 decades. I mean, or you could start off with I'm drawing a blank. For, you know, dozens of families in this neighborhood XYZ, child care services are out of reach, or, you know, our organization is the only affordable, accessible after school program. You know, just get on in and get on. Then it could be for the past 50 years, we have da 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 da. But and I do, I love the idea, and I do that a lot too. Of, you know, our, you know, this dovetails with you, Foundation's focus areas on community development and education, which is why we're writing this letter of intent to request $50,000 in support of blah blah blah. And then it's all right there.
Yep.
And like most grants that you're going to be writing, you're going to need to be talking about not only, hey, we've done all these things over the years, or we're one of two free healthcare clinics in our entire county for people without insurance, whatever it is that you've done, wherever it is you're going, then the specifics of the program or project that you want to talk about, that should come next, right? So you've got your intro, you've got this, we are here meeting this, this need exists and we meet it. We need this much money and we're good at this. And here's specifically the program that that addresses these issues. Mm-hmm. And just like a program or project description in a grant itself, it's just really important to make sure that you are getting details and numbers whenever you can. I can't say that enough. I reviewed a grant proposal from an agency that was like, hey, we just need you to anytime, and this is going to sound, it's going to sound the way it's going to sound because I am what I am. Anytime someone said, oh, it'll just take a little work and we just need you to do a little work and you could send it out. It's never like that. It's never like that. So it was a really beautifully produced, almost case statement document. Lots of graphics describing a little bit of the need, but really, really weak. And how many people are going to be treated here? And what kind of, do you know what I mean? There was no, and when, why this and not partnering with someone down the road? What, you know, there were so many details around the qualifications of the people leading the program. And so it's I know it's a heavy lift to put all that into a letter of intent, but those are the highlights. There are plenty of clinics out there offering free or reduced, you know, primary care or prescriptions. There are plenty of shelters trying to get dogs, cats, and other animals off the streets and into loving homes. There are plenty of colleges and universities that have outreach programs to non-traditional students. Why you need to really lean in, especially in a letter of intent, into that so what factor.
Yeah.
You know, so we're doing this so what, because we're the best people to do this, because no one else in our area is doing this, because the need has grown, because we now have 50 kids, adults, older adults on our waiting list, you know, because our animal shelter was supposed to house 50 dogs and we've got 100.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really hitting on it and getting specifics. And you can do that. You just got to really craft your sentences. You got to really, each sentence has to have a reason for being in your LOI. It can't just be, and hunger has always plagued mankind, or not that anybody would write that. But you got to really get into the specifics. And every sentence, every phrase has to do a lot of heavy lifting, has to either provide a heart tugging example or a specific statistic or combination of both. And, you know, you just, that's why it can sometimes feel like it takes longer. Once you start doing them, then you're like Amanda, you said, you're like, hey, the next time I go back to the Dr. Scholl Foundation, it's going to take me 5 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
Now you've got it down. Once you get this down, once you do one letter of intent really well, then it's a lot easier to just judge it and change it and adapt it for different needs. I would also, I love, Amanda, your information about putting the request up at the top. I would also put it again.
Oh, yeah. Know,
like at the top, it's like, yeah, you have $50,000 to help kids get the after-school support they need. Then down after you've described the program, then it's like, get into some specifics about what the funding is going to do. Unless It's a magical general operating grant, but you still want to talk about what it is you're going to do.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're going to augment you're going to expand, you're going to whatever, this money will help expand. But if it is a restricted funding request, which I would say 90% of grants are, at least, what specifically, you know, is this going to, the after school program, is this going to enhance your computer lab by getting more workstations and secure storage for Chromebooks and iPads? Or, you know, if it's for the animal shelter, is it going to be replacing fencing and expanding areas so that dogs can get outside and not be cooped up all day? Whatever it is, you want to get into some more details, and then you want to have a closing that is not boot licky, because yuck, but just going, hey, again, we feel like this is a good fit. Thanks for the opportunity to apply. We look forward to providing more information for a full proposal or setting up a time for a site visit or whatever. If you have instructions, whatever matches those instructions, and invite them to reach out to you. Sometimes if it's an online form, that's not going to be there. I mean, you know what I mean? Because it's just online, fill out these questions. But if you have a chance, I think it's always good. I can't stand the fawning, you know, you are so wonderful and have done all these things, community. It's like, yeah. There's a middle ground. And I would say going for that and just talking about, again, reminding them of how what you are doing, what your agency is doing, what your client is doing, dovetails with one or more of their focus areas, and geographic areas, and whatever, and just thanking them and looking forward to talking more.
I also, if it's a funder that has, like, they funded us last year and we're coming back again, I usually in the closing will say something about, you know, we appreciate your, you know, $10,000 from last year. With that, we were able to, you know, just so very succinctly, we were able to accomplish X, Y, and Z. And we look forward to a continued partnership to make great things happen, or, you know, something along those lines too. The closing can be a great place to acknowledge last year's award and talk about.
You know, I see what you're saying. I also would say the opening is a great place to do that too. And it's a good point.
Yeah.
If they've been a previous funder and you're still having to do an LOI process, because that's just what they do, then it could be, hey, thanks to your generous grant of $50,000 last year, we were able to do this and this and this. We're reaching out again with this letter of intent to expand our program to provide more after-school access for working families in an underserved, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you can just fit it right in. And then you could fit in the amount and everything right there.
And I would say, too, I mean, if you are expanding, that's great. But I will say, too, like, one of the clients I write for is they provide primary care. And we don't necessarily expand. But the thing is, like, there are always, I mean, we're serving different people every year, depending on who needs healthcare, right? Yep. So we're not necessarily expanding. We're just this is a great program that sadly is needed year after year after year, because people don't have access to insurance. So sometimes it's to continue our good works, because unfortunately they are still people in need of healthcare. So,
but you could still be,
have to expand every year.
You
if you
can, increasing access though, right?
That's true.
I mean, I didn't mean to say every time you ask for a grant or a letter with a letter of intent, you have to talk about growing, but you're increasing access or talking about, I guess in your case too, for the primary care clinic, it's probably a lot of people with complex chronic conditions.
Yes. Well,
you know, you can talk about that if the rates of diabetes or congestive heart disease or whatever it is growing. You can talk about that if there's a wait list, or I mean, there's lots of ways you can cut it. So good call. Mm-hmm. It's not everything has to always be expanding, but unfortunately, unless it's general operating, I know they're like, oh, wait, you need something new. I'm like, gosh, how about just giving us the money for the good stuff that's already going on, right? That would be super helpful. But I'm just trying to also offer language ideas around that, like increasing access. For years at the food bank, that was the program, increasing access to fresh produce and other healthy food.
Yeah.
that's not really a program. That was actually the core operation. But if they refuse to fund general operating, which boo, then that's a program, right?
Oh,
It was
yeah,
just
for
the primary program.
Same thing with the clinic. You know, it's diabetes education could be one of the things we did. So that was a program, or, you know, lab testing to diagnose chronic diseases is something they do year after year after year. But that could be a program. Yeah, I mean, same thing. You do what you got to do to.
And all the advice that we're giving you about letters of intent are based on the idea that maybe you don't have a lot of information. I just want to say that again. There are some funders that will spell it out for you, and good for them.
Yeah.
And good for you. So if there's some common elements in what we've talked about and what they're asking for, fantastic. If they're not, please follow the individual funder's specific instructions.
Yep.
If they're.
Yep.
That was sort of the McDonald's coffee is hot sign.
There you go. I love it. I
felt compelled to say.
Well, in that vein, I have a few other pointers as well. Okay. So talking about how to write an effective LOI. So just some critical steps and thoughts to help make your LOI stand out and grab the attention of your potential funders. As much as possible, you want to know your audience, right? So as much research as you can do around your grant maker, which we fully understand that some of these grant makers, all you've got is their 990 and the information that they're willing to share, which could be a ton or could be hardly anything. So your mileage is going to vary here as far as knowing your audience, but as much as you can understand their mission, their funding priorities, any specific criteria, or if they don't even share that, looking at who did they fund in years past, what types of organizations. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, funder history. And if you can't find that, if you know other organizations that have received funding from them or organizations that do similar work, you can always reverse engineer it.
Yep.
Or look at annual reports or things like that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So, and I mean, the real thing is you're trying to speak their language. So, you know, if they do have a mission and they mention specific vocabulary, it doesn't hurt to regurgitate that. If they state this year our funding, like we always fund feeding the hungry, but this year our focus is feeding children during the summer months. Well, then obviously you want that to be your focus and make sure you point that out, that that's exactly what their money's going to, right? Yep. You also want to reference the funder's work. You want to demonstrate your understanding of their past work and how your project aligns with their existing initiative. So kind of the example I just gave, you see that this is the focus, summer feeding for kids in school. And so you want to make sure that you're talking specifically about that. And you really, Kimberly mentioned this earlier, but really highlighting your project's impact. You don't just want to say, I'm buying a refrigerated food truck because people are hungry. Okay, but what does that mean? And so by giving examples of specifically, like now we can feed an extra 200 people, or now people who weren't receiving fresh fruits and veggies now are getting that because we can come and do local deliveries with our truck, right?
Well, we don't have to throw away, that food is not going to spoil now that we are able to store it safely and distribute it.
Exactly. So, and as much as possible, using data and metrics to help quantify all of this information. I'll go back to talking about the primary care clinic I write for. You know, I usually will talk about, hey, this is the clinic. We're open two nights a week, where we act as a primary care physician for them. But I always share data about the number of unique people we serve every year. I talk about the percentage of them. One of the things we track is what percentage have diabetes, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol. We also have different goals we set for folks, like if they of diabetic patients, we want them, their A1C levels to be below 7 or below is the aim for our diabetic patients. And so we track every year, we can say, you know, last year, 80% of our diabetic patients met this. And so that is our continued goal, to meet or exceed that number, right? We always want all of our patients to receive education, whether it's just some time with a doctor for them to explain, like, hey, I'm prescribing you this medication. Here's why, here's how it works, here's how you should take it. Or whether it's we sign them up for some training opportunities, we, you know, those kinds of things. So, but as much as you can give that specific information, and a lot of the stuff I talked about, I can write that up in two or three sentences. I don't have to go on and on and on about it. But showing those numbers really helps show
huge difference.
Impact, not just like, hey, we're helping people who have diabetes, because that could mean a lot of things or nothing at all, right? So make sure you're specific with your info. And then, as always, with anything you're submitting, proofread it, revise it. You want to make sure you don't have any typos or grammatical errors. So if you're the lone grant professional and you have no one else to look at your stuff, read it out loud, print it out on a piece of paper versus trying to proof from the computer screen helps you catch
Right.
more. If you're worried about spelling, reading it backwards can help you find spelling errors. Those are some tips. And you might find too, like the Physicians Care Clinic I do work for, their executive director, she reads everything. So I send everything to her and she finds stuff, that she fixes. And sometimes it's like just a personal preference of hers, but oftentimes she'll find a spelling or a comma error or something like that. So I love it when I've got a client who participates in that process. That makes me feel better that knowing another
Nice.
set of eyes have looked at it. So.
I would just want to wrap up with when should you not submit an LOI? If they don't ask for one, then okay, just leap right into the proposal process. Don't create extra work for yourself. I find overall they're really great for saving time, as long as the requirements are reasonable. I would also say if you've never done an LOI before, or it's a new client, or you're new to the agency, and you don't have those specifics that we talked about, also those specifics that are good for full grant proposals as well, in fact, essential. But if you don't have access or a clear understanding of the program, the outcomes, or other key elements, that's probably if the LOI is due by 5 and you're discovering your extreme lack of information and knowledge at 3:30, that may not give you enough time to get it all together, which just makes my argument for having that, just like you have maybe boilerplate descriptions of your organization's history, or you have your list of boards of directors, if you're working at a nonprofit, you have all those things. I would encourage you to have sort of a one pager. Sometimes, if your organization is large enough, your marketing area may have a one pager that you could take and adapt into language and more suitable for grant funders and add in those specifics that we talked about. You don't have to spend days and days on it, but having it together means that you could respond quickly to these LOIs as they come up. So that's always something to consider.
Well, and I, again, going back, because I've been given this example, the Physicians Care Clinic, every year in January, the executive director sends me, it's usually a one pager. We just call it the, so like right now I'm working off of the 2023 outcomes list she gave me. And it's not all outcomes on there, but the number of like things that are on there, the number of clinic visits throughout the year, the number of unique patients, and then the patient breakdown, male versus female, different age categories, the race category. So, because sometimes funders will ask about that, right? Like, what's, percentage of population that you serve are X, Y, and Z. Number of volunteers they have, the number of volunteer hours, the they give away free prescriptions that are prescribed by doctors, right? So, how many prescriptions did we give for the year? How many referrals to medical specialists did they make? How many diagnostic testing? All this kind of stuff. And I don't need all of that for every grant, but to have it, I
No.
can use that to answer the. Sometimes I use this piece. Sometimes I use all of this. It just depends what the funder is asking for, how much space I have. That one thing is the major between that and their budget.
You got what you
I
need.
do what I need to do. Every now and then I have a few things that I may need back from the fund from the executive director. I'll have some holes, but more likely than not, that gives me all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of
Yeah.
like putting together sort of a case statement. This one's the case statement by numbers, but
It's a great approach, and then you can add those details, right? They're there. They're there. Nice. It's almost like you've been doing this for more than 20 years.
I have a little finger too over here. So, ultimately, what I have learned that the LOIs are shorter, but not necessarily sweeter, right?
Done.
Sometimes that writing for tight page or word or character counts can be harder than having 50 pages to explain all of the things. So, but, and again, I, as someone who came from a federal grant background where I knew every little piece of thing that they wanted, to go from that to submit an LOI. And I'm like, how many
what?
pages? How many words? What kind of characters? Da, da, da. And sometimes they don't give you this stuff. So if you're new to the game, especially, but even if you've been doing it a while and you're like, what do they mean? They just said write an LOI. Well, like Kimberly said, it's 1 to 3 pages. Here, she went over the main things that you should include. Make that happen. There you go. And hopefully by doing all of this, you'll get a better ROI on your LOI.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Thanks again to today's sponsor, Kim Joyce & Associates. If you want to learn more about career opportunities and client relations with this growing business, visit kimjoyceandassociates.com. That's KIMJOYCE and associates.com. So we are so honored that you chose to spend time with us today. We hope you join us again for 2 weeks where we are going to tackle grants management
in
all of its glory. See you.
It's marvelous. See ya.
Bye.